This is a review of the Kenwood TS-990S transceiver. This article is copyright of the Radio Society of Great Britain, the RSGB, and was originally published in their magazine Radcom in June 2013. The RSGB has given kind permission for this article to be hosted on the Active Elements website. For more information about the RSGB, please visit www.rsgb.org. New flagship HF and 50 MHz transceiver. Introduction. During the latter months of 2010, Kenwood launched the TS-590S mid-range base station. This was their first new HF transceiver for over 7 years. Building on the features of this radio, now comes the TS-990S, Kenwood's new flagship top-end radio. Offering the very highest in performance and a most impressive level of functions, user control and information display. As a large mains-powered base station delivering 200 watts output power with dual independent receivers, it's targeted as a top-flight DX and contest radio. Basic functions. The TS-990S is certainly large, measuring 460 mm wide by 182 mm high by 449 mm deep, and weighs about 25 kilograms. The radio contains dual receivers, main and sub, both tuning 30 kHz to 60 MHz. They can operate independently over the whole tuning range, although the performance is not specified over the full range. The transmitter is enabled on the amateur bands and delivers nominally 200 watts output power in the UK. Transmit operation on 5 MHz is not standard out of the box, but can be enabled by Kenwood dealers. A low-level drive output is also provided, giving about 1 milliwatt transmit signal on the 136 kHz band, as well as transverter drive for any of the HF bands. As with the TS-590S, the low-level LF transmit range can be extended to cover 100 to 522 kHz with a dealer modification, useful for the 475 kHz allocation. Individual buttons select the bands with a band memory where 1, 3 or 5 last used combinations of frequency, mode and other settings is returned for each press of the band key. Individual buttons also select the usual modes, with both sidebands available on CW, FSK and PSK, and wide or narrow deviations on FM. A data button selects data mode on SSB and FM when interfacing to PC applications via the sound card, and the various shifts and bandwidths are all settable. Modes can be selected automatically according to band plans by setting up a mode frequency map, and CW transmission whilst on SSB can also be enabled. The front panel is quite complex, but well laid out, with most functions directly accessible from front panel controls in a logical way. The rear panel is fairly uncluttered. There are 4 antenna sockets and separate in/out sockets to connect a separate receive-only antenna, a separate receiver, transverter, or extra front-end filters. The antennas can be named on the panel display. Twin key jacks, one on the rear panel and one on the front, are each configurable for different keying arrangements. A 13-pin DIN connector provides audio and interfacing lines for the data modes and other accessories, and a separate DIN connector is used for linear amp control. This provides control for both fast QSK linears and the older style slower linears that need higher voltage or current control. Menu items allow separate switching characteristics for HF and 50 MHz, but there is only one linear control line. A dedicated connector interfaces to the AT300 external ATU, but there is no separate direct access to band data. Separate external speaker sockets provide output for the two receivers. There are 2 USB-A connectors on the front panel, connect a USB keyboard or external memory, and a USB-B connector on the rear, primarily for computer control and audio lines. The usual 9-pin DIN connector COM port is provided, a LAN Ethernet connection, optical audio input and output lines, a DVI connection for an external display, and a socket to connect external analog meters. The meter connection is identical to the ICOM IC7800 and allows external units such as the LDG DM7800 to provide dual large S meters and multiple simultaneous metering on transmit. The menu system is extremely comprehensive, with over 200 items in the main and submenus, with every conceivable parameter available for user selection and adjustment. The high-resolution display makes access easy, straightforward, and unambiguous. Many parameters are adjustable via bar graphs and other forms of graphical displays. Two entirely separate sets of parameters may be stored, configuration A and configuration B. This can be useful for optimizing different operating environments such as contesting and local rag chewing, or for field day operation where two operators have different preferences for the way the radio is set up. Configurations and message stores can be saved to external USB memory. Quick access to commonly selected menu items or many other settings, including some otherwise inaccessible functions, can be assigned to any of the programmable keys. There are two programmable function keys on the front panel. One is rather obscurely placed, and a further two if keys are reassigned. A further 8 keys may be accessed via a home-constructed keypad connected via the rear panel. The upstroke down keys on the microphone can also be reassigned for this purpose, and a further 4 with the MC47 microphone. My preference is to allocate one function key to enable tune. There's no microphone provided as standard with the radio, but Kenwood have a range of compatible hand and desk microphones. The SP990 external speaker accessory is useful, particularly if the radio is set into a console or has other units on top. It only has a single speaker, but includes additional audio tailoring. The instruction manual is huge, and although written in a compact style, there are so many features and functions to describe that it runs to nearly 300 pages. Generally, it's fairly clear and quite a triumph of writing in itself. At the time of this review, manual revisions were still ongoing prior to release of the final version. There are no technical descriptions, but circuit diagrams are provided and a separate PC control command reference manual is available downloadable from the Kenwood website. Here can also be found updated versions of the instruction manual, firmware, and upgrades and other relevant software. Another useful website for information is the G3NRW TS990S resources page. Displays. The radio uses two full-color LCD panels that are particularly clear and bright with good viewing angles. The larger 7-inch main display indicates frequencies, S meters, and status messages for both main and sub receivers at all times. The main meter can emulate an analog style or bar graph format, and the submeter uses a bar graph. The lower part of the display is used for a variety of purposes, including a high-resolution spectrum scan, message panels for the RTTY and PSK decoders, and for menu access and setup, graphical displays used in the various setup screens and memory channel listing. The display is touch-sensitive when displaying spectrum scans and will tune the radio to the touched area. The smaller 3.5-inch sub-display is located immediately above the main tuning drive and enables frequencies to be displayed and read with minimum eye movement. It also indicates the audio spectrum overlaid with full details of the channel bandwidth, including notch filter placement, etc. On data modes, it provides a useful tuning indicator, an XY scope on RTTY, and a vector scope on PSK. For retro addicts or those with fond memories of the tuning scales of the past, the smaller display can emulate the dial ring of an analog mechanical drive. And in shortwave listener mode, the main display can emulate the string-driven ribbon scale of classic shortwave receivers such as the Trio 9R59. Overall, there is far more information presented in such a user-friendly way than by any other radio to date. Radio design and architecture. The main receiver in the TS990S follows current practice for high-performance radios away from up-conversion to a low IF and a suite of roofing filters. The first IF is 8.248 MHz with roofing filters at 270 Hz, 500 Hz, 2.7 kHz, 6 kHz and 15 kHz fitted as standard, selected either manually or automatically according to mode and channel bandwidth. There is provision for a sixth user-fitted filter. The second IF is 24 kHz to feed the DSP for all subsequent processing. The sub-receiver adopts the same architecture and circuitry as the TS-590S. On certain ammeter bands, 160, 80, 40, 20 and 50 meters, and with bandwidths less than 2.7 kHz, the receiver converts to an IF at 11.374 MHz with 2.7 kHz or 500 Hz roofing filters, and then to 24 kHz for DSP processing. Over the remainder of the tuning range or wider bandwidths, the subreceiver upconverts first to 73 MHz IF with a 15 kHz roofing filter, then via 10.7 MHz with 15 kHz, 6 kHz or 2.7 kHz filters, and finally to 24 kHz. Separate 32-bit floating point DSPs for the main and sub-receivers are used to provide IF channel filtering, demodulation, noise reduction, audio processing and AGC functions. On FM, separate FM ICs perform demodulation and pass audio to the DSPs. On this mode, the DSP is used purely for audio filtering functions. A third DSP is used by the band scope. The main receiver uses a switching first mixer and 15 input bandpass filters to cover the total frequency range. Relay switched on the 5 key bands and diode switched on the remainder. A tunable preselector may also be enabled to further reduce out-of-band signals. The sub-receiver uses a quad arrangement of MOSFETs in both first mixer signal paths together with 13 diode switched bandpass filters. Both receivers use switchable bipolar preamplifiers in the front end with nominally 12 dB gain at up to 21.5 MHz and 20 dB gain above, and switchable attenuators for really strong signal situations. The local oscillator feed for the main receiver uses a PLL/DDS combination at VHF and a divider to achieve low phase noise. A 0.1 part per million TCXO reference ensures high stability and accuracy and is available as a 10 MHz reference via a rear panel connector to drive other equipment. Alternatively, the radio can operate from an external reference. The transmit signal path uses the upconversion sub-receiver frequency scheme in reverse. The radio is solidly constructed with shielded modular units around a substantial die-cast frame. Well packed, there is a lot of this radio. The PA has a large finned heatsink and a total of 5 internal fans to keep the radio cool. These are fairly quiet with variable speed and only operate when the temperature rises, which is rarely under normal use. A single 7.5 cm speaker fits in the case top. Receive features. The radio is fitted with a 60mm diameter main tuning drive, weighted and smooth in operation. The subtuning drive is 33mm diameter and also smooth. With 1000 steps per revolution and 10 Hz steps, both combine precise tuning with fast frequency navigation. Fine tuning at 1/10 of these rates is selectable, and lower steps per revolution if desired. Rapid tuning is a variety of mode-dependent step sizes and is performed by a small click-step rotary control. Multi. Also used to select menu items, memory channels and other functions. The frequency may be entered directly using the band keys as a numeric keypad, and a history list of the last 10 frequencies entered this way is stored for rapid recall. Selecting and swapping between main and sub receivers and split frequency operation are all simply performed. Both the main and sub receivers are equipped with similar functions, with separate sets of controls for both receivers, and these are logically grouped, With stereo headphones or external dual speakers, the receiver outputs can be kept separate or mixed to any degree, but not, of course, on the single internal speaker. RIT and XIT are both provided, and an auto-tune feature fine-tunes the receiver on clear signals to give the correct CW pitch. There are 120 memory channels with 10 for storing programmable scan limits. A host of very friendly memory access and related features are provided, including name tagging and scrolling across the display. A separate quick access memory is included with up to 10 channels stored. The usual comprehensive scanning is provided between frequency limits, across the memory channels or groups. Three AGC speeds are selectable, each with a programmable decay time. AGC can also be switched off. Receiver filters. The TS990S is well equipped with channel filtering functions. The IF channel bandwidth can be set over wide limits down to 50 Hz. On voice modes, the upper and lower passband edges are set independently, high stroke low, and on CW and data modes, the center frequency and width are set as shift stroke width. SSB and SSB data can use either method. In addition to these settings, the overall shape can be set to sharp, medium, or soft. On AM and FM modes, the quoted bandwidth is somewhat misleading. On FM, it relates to the audio filtering bandwidth. The IF bandwidth is fixed. On AM, it also relates to the audio bandwidth after demodulation, but the IF bandwidth is filtered to about double this value. The sub-display shows the actual set values as shown on a graphical overlay on the audio spectrum. The audio bandwidth can be set overall to narrow, medium or wide, and on CW, an audio peak filter can be enabled. This has three selectable bandwidths, 80, 160 and 320 Hz, and is tunable across the pitch frequency. In FSK mode, a dual peak audio filter may also be selected. Last but not least, an audio equalizer is incorporated with six preset profiles or three custom profiles where each of the 18 channels can be independently adjusted. This is easy to set and graphically portrayed as one of the setup screens. Three separate sets of bandwidths for each mode may be stored and toggled from a front panel key. This includes IF, AF and roofing filter settings. Separate keys are used for the two receivers. Four different notch circuits are provided. Implemented at IF is a manual notch with adjustable center frequency and a wide stroke narrow setting. An IF auto notch is available on SSB for automatically locating and attenuating a single interfering tone. A separate IF notch, termed band eliminator filter, is a manual notch with adjustable depth and stop band. Implemented at audio is a beat cancellation filter for voice modes, often called auto notch and on other radios. This automatically locates and removes multiple tones with two speed settings. One setting is more effective on continuous beats and the other on intermittent tones. Two separate DSP noise reduction functions are provided that use different algorithms and differ in their effectiveness depending on the prevailing situation. Finally, in the armory for combating interference are two noise blankers. NB1 is a conventional IF-gated analog system, and NB2 performs blanking using DSP. Quite a selection to choose from. Again, all functions are duplicated between the receivers with separate controls. Transmit features. The transmitter power output is variable on all modes down to about 1 watt. The maximum power output can be set separately for each band in 1 watt steps with different settings for data modes and tune power. Very comprehensive. Metering indicates power output, SWR, ALC, compression level, temperature or PA voltage or current. The radio includes a built-in auto ATU covering all bands from 1.8 to 50 MHz and will tune antennas with up to a 3:1 VSWR. The ATU can be set to be in-circuit on receive as well as on transmit. On voice modes, Vox, speech processor and a transmission monitor are provided, and the audio bandwidth may be tailored by adjusting the low cut and high cut response. In addition, an audio equalizer may be enabled that has 18 selectable profiles, similar to the receiver equalizer. On FM, receive and transmit tone decoders and encoders are provided for CTCSS operation and repeater access, and these can use different frequencies. On CW, the rise and fall times of the keying envelope are settable from 1 to 6 milliseconds, and there is the usual provision for full and semi-breaking with the drop-back delay adjustable from the front panel. An electronic keyer is built in and has various operating modes. It operates over the speed range 4 to 60 words per minute, with the speed in words per minute indicated on the display. The weighting can be varied and made to increase or decrease with speed. 8 message stores are also provided, storing up to 50 characters each, and can be programmed from the paddle, the multi-control, or from a USB keyboard. Automatically incrementing serial numbers are allowed, and messages can be set to repeat after a delay. The message stores are controlled from the front panel keys. Data modes. The TS990S includes fully featured built-in encoders and decoders for RTTY and PSK operation. Unlike many radios where the feature is provided but rather simplistically, the higher resolution display in the TS990S, together with an external keyboard connected, makes real operation much more feasible and enjoyable. The main screen in extended mode allows for 12 lines of received data with 43 characters per line and 3 lines of transmit data together with an FFT scope displaying audio spectrum and a waterfall. In addition, the sub-display shows an XY scope or vector scope depending on mode. Together, these tuning aids are really effective. PSK operation allows both BPSK and QPSK modes with either PSK31 or PSK63. A host of configurable setups is provided: tone frequencies, shifts, UOS, AFC, tone reversal, etc. The text buffer for transmission will store up to 4,300 characters, and there are 8 70-character message stores for each mode. Incoming messages can be saved to external USB memory. Band scope. A versatile spectrum display or band scope is incorporated into the TS990S that provides a higher resolution than any other self-contained radio currently available. It also provides a waterfall display, which is often better for identifying weak or keyed signals. The displayed range is 80 dB. In center mode, it displays the spectrum centered on the main or sub-receiver frequency with spans from 5 kHz to 500 kHz. In fixed mode, it provides scans within each band between presettable limits. Markers indicate the receiver and transmit frequencies, and the display can be paused, averaged, or maximum held to assist in different situations. Touching the band scope display will tune the radio to the touched area, but this can be switched off to prevent accidental QSYs. An audio scope function can also be enabled for the main display. This functions on both receive and transmit and shows the audio waveform, spectrum and waterfall display of the spectrum. Frequency span, level and sweep times are adjustable. Additional features. A voice message store is provided, recording short messages for repetitive calls such as CQ calls or recording the received audio. There are 6 channels available for short messages with a total recording length of 100 seconds. Messages can be repeated automatically after a time interval. Up to 30 seconds of received audio can be recorded per file on internal memory, or up to 9 hours if using external USB memory. The voice store can be set to record continuously, but retain just the last 30 seconds. The voice guide provides voice readout of the status of various radio settings depending on how it has been set up. This includes the frequency, meter readings, and virtually any other settings and key presses, and can be a great help for those with impaired vision. If not needed, the voice guide access keys can be used as programmable function keys. For use with transverters, the display can be set to indicate the transverted frequency up to a maximum of 4.2 GHz, with an offset to a resolution of 100 Hz. The transmit drive sources for the transverter in most cases will use the low-level 1 milliwatt drive output, which disables the transmitter PA, and there's a menu option to use the PA at its lowest power level, 5 watts. Make sure you avoid transmitting into the transverter IF output when the transverter is disabled by using the receive only input on the radio. Other features include clock displays and timers, and timed recording, power on messages, and screensaver. The radio is fully supported by Kenwood's suite of software, the ARCP990 and ARHP990, for full remote operation from a PC or via the internet, and via radio with the Sky Command System too. This includes packet cluster tuning and crossband repeaters. Measurements. The full set of measurements is given in the table. The main receiver sensitivity reduced by 3 dB with the sub-receiver enabled, and then both receivers gave similar results. The sensitivity holds well at LF, achieving minus 123 dBm at 136 kHz with the preamp on, and only starts to reduce significantly below 100 kHz. Sensitivity is reduced by about 18 dB over the medium wave broadcast band. The S-meter calibration was similar for both receivers and showed about 3.5 dB per S-unit. All modes were the same except FM, which was highly compressed. The rejection of IFs and images for the main and sub-receiver down conversion, path 1, sub 1, was typically 70 to 90 dB. For the sub-receiver up conversion path sub 2, these figures were somewhat better, typically around 100 dB. Other spurious responses and birdies were very low, with none of significance. The AGC attack characteristic inserted a hole of up to 10 milliseconds in the signal, often seen in DSP implemented systems, which can impair signal copy in noisy situations. The default AGC decay times are quite closely spaced, and the user may prefer to widen them. Using a wider roofing filter than necessary can result in close-in desensitization, as the AGC responds to signals inside the roofing filter bandwidth. The strong signal performance of the main receiver is top class, with front-end IP3 approaching plus 40 dBm on some bands, and intermodulation and limited dynamic range approaching 115 dB in 500 Hz bandwidth. The sub-receiver is also excellent, with dynamic ranges in excess of 100 dB. Close in, these dynamic ranges hold well down towards the skirts of the roofing filters, but reciprocal mixing noise starts to predominate and prevent measurements below about 5 kHz. Measurements of blocking show that the front end can handle very strong signals. Blocking was in excess of plus 20 dBm, with the preamplifier out for both receivers down towards 5 kHz spacing, where reciprocal mixing prevents closer in measurement. The tunable preselector reduced sensitivity by around 6 dB, but had little effect on wideband second order intermodulation, which was already quite reasonable. In-band linearity was very good, but I have seen better. The reciprocal mixing figures for the main and sub 1 receivers are best on the lower frequency bands. Sub 2 sees little variation. The main and sub 1 profiles are somewhat different. The main receiver is best further out, but sub 1 is best closer in. For comparison, the 3 kHz spaced reciprocal mixing dynamic range figures in 2.5 kHz bandwidth on 7 MHz are 93 dB for main, 100 dB for sub 1, and 87 dB for sub 2. These are excellent figures, but have been bettered close in by some other radios, and allowed measurement of the channel filter bandwidth about 80 dB down the skirts. As with most DSP implementations, the filters exhibited a clean response and excellent shape factor. Figure 1 shows the composite selectivity curve and the effect of reciprocal mixing in the different receiver paths. On transmit, two-tone distortion products were low, and the processor was clean with negligible effect on wideband products. the audio was very clean, with low distortion and quite tolerant of high ALC levels and overdrive. The Auto ATU reduced power by about 10-15%. CW rise and fall shapes were fine, with negligible distortion or character shortening at 40 words per minute, even in full break-in mode. There was a 15 millisecond delay on keying to allow for linear switching. Linear control by relay added a further 15-30 milliseconds on key down for slow linears, and this results in first character shortening. AM transmit was clean, with low distortion. On the air performance. A first encounter with the TS-990S, or indeed its manual, can seem quite daunting. However, I found that as you get to know the radio, it's straightforward, a delight to use, and really appreciated the usefulness and clear information presented on the various display screens. The front panel is quite complex, but the controls are well grouped. The tuning is smooth and positive, and functions easy to access. It takes 45 seconds for the radio to power up, and during that time, the display can show a startup message. The radio performed impeccably on strong and weak signals and in crowded conditions. The filters were excellent, the various notches and noise blankers all performed well. The audio quality using the internal speaker was excellent, with good volume and no rattles. I also used the SP990 external speaker, and that gave even better quality. Clean performance extended down to LF with the timecode transmissions and in the AM broadcast bands. The two noise reduction modes were different in the way they transformed the signal. They can be very effective in certain circumstances and quite aggressive in operation, but tended to produce a digital sound with strange artifacts if overdone. On transmit, the audio quality was reported as being excellent using the MC43S hand microphone, although a little susceptible to acoustic handling noise. Better still was the quality from the MC90 desk unit. The processor was clean and added extra punch. On CW, the keying and side tone were clean, and with full break-in it was possible to listen between characters up to around 30 words per minute. The relay used for linear switching, if using this method, is rather noisy, particularly in full break-in mode. I found that the touchscreen tuning on the bandscope was not particularly accurate to set, but playing with the calibration routine helped. The frequency you tune from is lost, and the ability to allocate an undo function to one of the programmable keys would be very helpful. Conclusions. The TS-990S is an outstanding radio. Its performance is second to none, right up there with the best. But what really sets the radio apart from all others is the level of built-in features, the ease of access, and the degree of information presented to the operator. No other radio comes anywhere near the clear display of all operating parameters. However, this does come at a price. It's not a cheap radio, and currently sells for around £6,600. But I'm sorely tempted. Acknowledgements. I'd like to express my gratitude to Kenwood Electronics UK for the loan of this radio, and to Radio World Limited for the loan of the LDG DM7800 accessory.